Thank you for listening to a recorded worship service of Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Our church is located just outside Adamstown, Pennsylvania.
We hope this service points you to Jesus, and we invite you to come worship the Lord with us.
Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Enjoy the service.
Good morning. Let us turn to page number 529 in the Mennonite hymnal.
5:29. I invite the ushers to come forward for this morning's offering. As they come up, I'd like to read a very familiar passage from Lamentations 3. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this new morning, this new day, this new gift from your hands. Thank you that we can be together this morning to worship you, to join together in song and word in your scripture, to hear your message brought by Travis this morning. Father, I pray you would lift our hearts up to you so that we are worshiping you and being able to put distractions aside. Thank you that we can bring some of what you've given us back to you this morning for our offerings and gifts. I pray you would bless both the giver and the gift to your service here locally in our community and around the world. And we pray this in Jesus' name, our Savior, our blessed gift from you. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. Would you guys pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for blessing us with another new day, Lord God. Every day that we have here is a blessing. It's for you, Lord God. Help us to just recognize that and to remember that our purpose here on earth is to make known your name and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we are continuing our journey through the Bible. And the scripture this morning takes us to a man that Pastor Phil had introduced to us last time he shared. He was one of the seven who were chosen who were full of the Spirit and wisdom, chosen to wait on tables, it says. Now, it's not Stephen. Stephen was kind of centered around Phil's message, but it was another guy. Does anybody know who the other guy was? Yes, Philip. Now, Philip is also mentioned later on, or referred to later on, as the evangelist. And when I think of an evangelist, I think of like Billy Graham, like somebody preaching in front of a huge crowd, thousands of people, whatever. And while I don't think we're all called to be evangelists in that sense, we are all called to be witnesses for Jesus Christ and to share His name. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us that we are to be ready, always ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. In Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission tells us to go and make disciples. And so while I don't think we're all called to be evangelists, we are all called to be witnesses. And a witness is really quite simple when you break it down. A witness is somebody who can speak or represent something that they have experienced firsthand. And so as Christians, we all should have experienced, hopefully we've experienced God firsthand in our lives. And so all we need to do is represent that and speak on that. So we'll look at this story. The story is of Philip witnessing to the Ethiopian eunuch. And we'll look at that a little bit, but I wanted to do something a little different this morning for two reasons. One is I didn't want to go too in-depth into this story because doing that requires going in-depth into what a eunuch is. And if you don't know what that is, you can Google it, but it makes me feel a little nauseous, queasy, and while I'm sure it would make for an unforgettable message, I don't want to pass out in front of you guys here this morning. But secondly, the real reason is I'm encouraged when I hear stories, and I'm challenged when I hear stories of people sharing their experiences. So I wanted to allow time for, I have two individuals this morning who, like Philip, are full of the Spirit and wisdom, to share some of their experiences. So James, if you want to come forward, I have James sharing a little bit, and then Terry as well. And then if we have time left, we'll look at Philip's experience.
Travis asked if I'd share a little with you this morning. I think that's the first time in my life that I've ever been compared to a Spirit-filled Philip. I don't think I measure up, Travis, to that. But I was asked to share a couple stories of experiences of witnessing or sharing Jesus with others. I was at Reading Farmers Market, where I work several days a week. I was at the lunch counter having lunch, sitting beside the lady who worked in the fish stand. I didn't know her very well. I knew her first name. We were sitting there and began chatting, small talk. It was, I think, in the 70s, and she was concerned about the threat of nuclear annihilation. It was kind of on the news, and It was obvious this is very much on her mind. And then she made the statement that she believed that the earth would be destroyed by fire, and she expected that there'd be a nuclear holocaust of some kind. And then I said to her, spontaneously, well, I believe the earth is going to be destroyed by fire, but for another reason. I said, the Bible says that the day of the Lord will come and be the end of time. Jesus will be coming back again, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. She said, the Bible says that? I said, yeah, that's what the Bible says. And so we began to talk a little more about that, and led to a conversation about Jesus, and I was able to share with her that I believe Jesus was the Messiah who was foretold to come, and that he died on the cross, atonement of our sins, and he rose again and ascended back to heaven. And one day he's coming back again. And after that conversation, she said, could you tell me where that's found in the Bible? And you know, on the spur of the moment, I couldn't. I said, well, I'll let you know. So I got back to her with that scripture. I have no idea what impact that had in her life or where that led. I have absolutely no idea of the effect of that. One thing I do look back on and feel that in ordinary conversation, I was faithful in sharing what I believed in a ordinary, winsome kind of way. And as Travis indicated, that witnessing for Jesus is not about the focus on the other person. It's about yourself. After that experience, the question to me was not, what effect did it have on the woman? But was I faithful to my Lord in that conversation, in sharing what I believed and who I was? It's pure witnessing is about yourself, not the other person. And so often we think that witnessing is when we decide to tell the other person or when we decide to try to convince the other person. There's a place for that too. Let me go on to a... let me just say this yet. Every believer in Jesus is a witness. You can be a secret witness. You can be a silent witness or a vocal witness. You can be a witness in word or deed or word and deed. You can be winsome. You can be an offensive witness. You can be a hidden witness. You can be an open witness. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're some kind of a witness. Your life is saying something. And the question is, are you satisfied with that, or is God leading you to do something more? The other one that I wanted to tell you about was one that was focused. I went to see a man with a mission. His son was in my Sunday school class, a junior in Sunday school. The boy's mother came to our congregation, and she was a very wonderful Christian woman, just overflowed with the joy of the Lord. She's a very vocal person and so on. But her husband I had never met and never seen, so I prayed and I went to see Mr. T, I'll call him. And it was on a Sunday. It was actually after church, and he welcomed me into his home, and we got to chit-chatting, learning to know each other, talked about his son and so on. And in the course of conversation began to talk about my understanding of Jesus and so on. And he was very anti. He was very, seemed quite hard, and let me know that he didn't believe that. That was not him. His wife was in the kitchen, and as we talked on, she entered the conversation, and they were both strong-willed individual and outspoken individuals. And so a conversation began happening between him and her, and it kind of escalated, and finally he accused her of putting him down and telling me that he's not a believer and inferring not a good man. And I spontaneously, and to this day, I believe it was the Spirit of God in me, I just said, now, wait a minute, Mr. T. I didn't learn that from your wife. You told me that you're not a believer. And then we went on to other, it calmed, and we went on to other things. And I came back to the church, and when some of the others there found out what had happened, they said, this is unbelievable. You mean he didn't kick you out of his house? He's told many other people to leave. Well, no, I said, we left on good terms as far as I know. But I had confronted him. Let me fast forward through the years till this man was an old man. And I went to visit him in his home in Reading. And we got to talking again. And I shared again what I believe about Jesus. And then I asked him, I said, do you believe that Jesus was the Messiah? Well, yeah, he believes that. Do you believe it's a historical fact? You know, that Jesus died on the cross? Well, yeah, I believe that. I said, do you believe that Jesus rose again and ascended to heaven? Well, sure, he said, I believe that. And then I read to him these verses. I actually can quote them, but I'll read them for accuracy here. But I actually opened my Bible, and I said to him, the Bible says the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And anyone who trusts in the name of the Lord will never be put to shame. And so we talked about that a little, and then I asked him if he would be open to confessing that publicly and to be baptized. And he said he didn't really give me a clear yes or no on that. But as far as I know, he was never baptized. Was he saved? Will I see him in heaven? Well, I rather think so. Let's find out. Those are not decisions that are mine to make, but I believe that he had grown to the point that he had faith. I wished it would have came earlier in life and he had done more. But I really felt good about that circumstance. Quickly, one more. There was a young family living in the neighborhood in Brecknock Township. She grew up in a good Christian home. His folks were very nominal Christians. They were members of a church, but not really involved, didn't go very much, and so he didn't either. They had a son, and then she was expecting the second child. I had made contact, I had friendship, never went anywhere, but I knew them. And so then I found out that their baby was born. And I just felt led of the Lord that this is a Kairos time. And I prayed and went and congratulated them on this baby. We had a wonderful time together. And then before I left, I said, just simply said, I addressed him. I said, would it be all right if I prayed for you? Oh, would you please? And so I did. And then after that prayer, he began asking questions about faith. And then he began to say, what would it mean to become an Anabaptist Mennonite and to join the Mennonite Church? And it led to a lengthy conversation. And of course, I started with faith in Jesus first. And then over time, that led to a Bible study that eventually led to his baptism and that family becoming a part of the congregation. It was a wonderful story that ended the way you'd want it to end. Well, again, I'll simply say, our call is to be faithful, to follow however the Lord leads us, and to share yourself and your own faith, and then trust the Spirit of God to take it wherever He leads.
Thank you, James. Terry, if you want to come up, you can share.
Good morning. I have a little disclaimer. You don't have to go to my husband and confront him. The bruises are because I'm not used to being on blood thinners yet. So I'm just covered with bruises. I don't know how to stop them right now. James and I have kind of a similar approach to sharing the gospel. I am not an evangelist per se. Dan came home one time from the truck and he said that he heard his pastor, he had a preacher on the radio explaining, if you would sit next to Billy Graham any place, on a plane, on a bus, in a taxi, any place, in 20 seconds or less, you would know the gospel, the four spiritual laws. However, he is an evangelist. His gift, and it's a spiritual gift, he meets someone and senses and knows that they have to have the full gospel right away. This pastor shared he wouldn't do that. He would have a conversation about faith, but he would have to get to know the person a little bit more, maybe share a book that he was writing or did write or had there with him and something like that. And I think that's how I approach things. And I liked what James said. We are called to be witnesses. And we witness what God did for us. And in I always go back to these verses when I think about things. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, we are the fragrance of life. And I have to realize, like James said, that I'm not responsible for the answers. I'm not responsible for the response of that person. We're responsible to share. And sometimes in sharing, you do not get a good response because if they don't know the Lord or aren't being called by the Lord or want to rebel against it, that is strong language to say we are the fragrance of, we are the smell of death to someone. So they're not going to respond really well. I too have three stories. The first story is about two girls that came to live with us. Maria and Carrie, we got to know when our daughter was about a sophomore or junior in high school. They started coming around, hanging out with Annette. We kept on having them over. We kept on having them for supper. We started hearing their stories, and one at a time, they started living with us. Carrie had lived her life in increments of 6 months between family members. Wherever she would get the most welfare is where her family would slough her off to. And Maria was a really good friend, too, came from a really iffy kind of a situation and wanted some stabilization, so we took them in. And we lived our life for Christ. Now, I tease them all the time because I tell them they first fell in love with my daughter, Annette, you know, just as a friend, just as somebody to have fun with. Then they learned about my two sons in high school. So then they kind of had crushes on my sons and liked to come over a little bit more and stuff like that. And finally, through the Word and through our witness and through just many, many conversations, they both came to know the Lord. I remember one such conversation with Carrie. Carrie came from a Jehovah's Witness background. And we were sitting on the porch. And more than a conversation, we were contending the faith. And it was not quiet. And at one point, she just had it. And she just looked at me and she says, I don't understand why we both can't be right. And she stomped into the house and stomped up the stairs and just stayed in her room for a while. But the day, and I was trying to think about the time that it happened, and I'm pretty sure it happened in the spring. My daughter came down from the upstairs, and she was sobbing. I thought something had happened. I thought there was an accident, and I'm like, what happened? And she finally kind of in between sobs, came out and told me that both Maria and Carrie had made decisions for the Lord. Carrie went on. She started going into Hope of the Nations, went to South 7th Street. She married Jake Good's daughter, Sheldon. They now have three girls and are thinking about fostering. Maria married my son. They have four children, and they go to Millersville Mennonite Church. And their walk with the Lord was a little bit rougher than Carrie's, but once they got together and once they recommitted their lives to Christ, they're walking strongly for the Lord. It's such a blessing. Daniel probably doesn't even know this story. I'll tell you about Brad. I work in road construction. I work as a secretary at a road construction company. They're the rough and tumble people of the world. Not very many of the people that we have working for us outside of the office know the Lord at all. And this guy was especially arrogant and moody, and he walked around with big chip on his shoulder. He really walked around with a big chip on his shoulder. And it just seemed like at every turn, something wasn't going right in his life and something wasn't happening. And I think sometimes we give off the attitude that everything's good and everything's perfect and look, I know Jesus and everything's fine. And one day, his attitude eventually got him fired. But one day when he was there and he was just talking about life, and I think at that time he was living out of a car or almost and stuff like that, I just really felt overwhelmed to pull him aside. And I don't do that often. But it was almost a compulsion that I needed to tell him our life isn't perfect. And if it wouldn't be for Jesus in my life, I wouldn't be surviving. And I did. And like James, I had no idea. I mean, he thanked me for talking to him and, you know, kind of hemmed and hauled around a little bit, and he didn't know how to respond. But I still know, like James was saying, I was faithful in doing that. I felt that I gave him the message that he needed to hear at that point, and the Lord will take it wherever it's supposed to go. And I say that I'm a friendship evangelist, and I like to do that, except when you put me in a clown suit. I have no clue, and I just know it was God. We had a block party at South 7th Street, and I decided to be a clown. So I made a clown outfit, had the rainbow-colored hair, had a big hat. And in that clown suit as T3, because I was T3, you know, totally thankful Terry. And when I would go up to somebody and ask them, you know, I'm totally thankful Terry, but you can call me T3. You want to know why I'm thankful? And I would tell anybody about the Lord. I don't know if it's hiding behind something and they're not rejecting me, they're rejecting the clown. I don't know what it made me feel like, that I felt this freedom to go out and really talk to the people on the street. I had a blast that day. Daniel said, he says, where did that come from? I said, I don't know. But I did find out how many people are afraid of clowns. And there was one Hispanic guy that would tell me to come over. He wanted to hear more, but he was doing it just to scare his girlfriend away. I said, now don't do that. I said, I'll talk to you over here. But that day, there were three boys, young kids. I think the 14-year-old was the one that was bragging about his daughter, that there was a girl there. They had just had a baby. And these kids were hoodlums, and you could tell that they were on the verge of doing stuff that you knew that they didn't want to get into. And they had approached me time after time getting candy. I was handing out candy. I had this big bag of candy. And no, I didn't come. I said, look, I said, you've got carpenter pants on. I see your pants are full of candy. I said, I'm not naive. I said, I can see things. And I kind of went like this and took my persona off and went over and talked to them. And I told them where they are. And I told them what they were doing. And I told them that they were, I said, I know what you guys are into. Well, how do you know? I said, because I do. I said, and let me tell you something. And I shared with them a story that that's very personal to me about somebody that's really close. And I told them, it's not what you think it is. And you don't start coming to this church and finding God. You're going to realize that you're going to go down way farther than you ever thought you could be. And the people that say are have your back don't have your back. And the people that say they love you don't love you. And when you do what they want you to do, they're going to hang you out to dry. But I know somebody that'll love you forever. When I walked away, the one kid had tears in his eyes. I don't know what happened to those three boys. I don't think I ever saw them again, even though we went to South 7th Street for two more years after that. I don't think I ever saw the kids again. But I know God touched at least one of their lives. So, you leave it up to the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you guys for sharing. I was personally instructed to make sure I don't go late, but we still got plenty of time. So, the scripture is from Acts 8, 26 to the end of the chapter. You guys don't have to turn there if you don't want to. I'll break it down for you. So Philip is doing what evangelists do. I don't know what they do, but he's just hanging out or whatever. And an angel of the Lord comes to him and tells him, hey, I want you to go out to this road. And so he just gets up and goes. And I tried to think about that. Like, suppose we felt God telling us, hey, I want you to go drive down 625. You know, I'm kind of busy right now, but tomorrow I got to run for groceries. So I'll go that way anyway. Okay, I'll do it tomorrow. No, he gets up, he goes, he heads out. He doesn't know why. He doesn't know, you know, what God has in plan for him. He knows he's called to go down the road. So he goes and he heads out to that road. Then when he's there, God, the Spirit points out to him a chariot. He says, I want you to go up to that chariot. And it tells us that Philip runs up to the chariot. Now, seriously, who would do that? Imagine if God told you, I want you to go speak to that person and you go run up to him. First of all, I mean, they're going to think you're weird, but Philip is faithful in doing that. And maybe there's an excitement there. He can't wait to go and do that. He runs up to it. And Philip has no idea about this, but God had been working in this eunuch's life. He was in Jerusalem to worship, and he's on his way home. And on his way home, he's reading the book of Isaiah. And so God was working in his life there. And Philip had no idea about this. All he knows is that he's called to go and to approach this person, and he does. And that's the thing, too, with us. We have no idea where, when God prompts us to talk to someone, we have no idea where they're at on their journey. And our job is just to be faithful in interjecting at whatever point they're at on this journey. And as you heard James and Terry share, I mean, sometimes you don't know the end result. You don't know where they're at. You're never going to find out. But our job is just to be faithful in that. And lastly, Philip asks the eunuch, he goes up to him and he asks him if he understands what he's reading. He hears him reading Isaiah and he asks him if he understands. And the eunuch's response is, how can I? How can I understand this if no one ever tells me what it means? And this is one scripture I would like you guys to turn to. Romans 10:14. Everybody here knows what 2 plus 2 is. And there's some things I think as we get older we can learn on our own through our previous, you know, the things that we know, we can learn things on our own. But 2 plus 2 is something that everybody learns at a young age. And And they don't learn that, I don't think they learn that on their own. Someone taught them something that's basic. 2 + 2 = 4. It's very basic, but we had to teach our kids that. They didn't learn to count on their own. Romans 10:14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? The only way they're going to know about Jesus is if they're taught, if someone teaches them. And that's our job, it's our responsibility to be a witness, to teach and to speak and to represent who Jesus is. Now my goal this morning here was not for you guys to leave. So I did a survey. Many of you know I did a survey that I sent out. And for those of you that got it, most of you had responded to that. And the majority of us, through those responses, the majority of us are either somewhat or very nervous about witnessing or sharing our faith. And I say some of us, that includes me. That's something that makes me nervous. I can easily, an experience that we had with a girl at a Waitrose one time, she was having a rough day. She ended up getting fired in the midst of waiting on our table, not because of us. We didn't have her fired, but she was, I don't know what all was going on in her life, but we could tell she was having a rough day. And so the one time she was there, we just kind of mentioned that, you know, the difficulties that we went through with MSUD and liver transplant, and that, you know, we believe that God has a plan and that he has a plan for her. It was, to me, that was simple. I didn't feel like it was anything profound, but hopefully it spoke something into her life. So, but the majority of us are nervous or somewhat or very nervous about sharing. So my goal this morning, my hope this morning, was to not have you guys leave here feeling guilty for not measuring up or to feel condemned, but to feel, to be challenged. And for me, hearing people share stories like James and Terry did this morning is challenging to me, and it makes me, you know, want to go and share something or do something to be a witness. So I have two challenges for you this morning. One is to continue to ask God for opportunities, to continue to pray and ask God for opportunities to witness, and then also to be aware of them and to take advantage of them. Over the last couple weeks as I was preparing this message, I did that quite a bit, and I'll tell you, I failed. There was times where I was like, okay, I'm looking for somebody to witness to, and nothing came up. There was twice, I would say, that I felt like God was like, hey, I want you to talk to that person, and I was unprepared, and I was like, wait, what? What am I going to say? And I'll tell you, I blew it. But number two, the other thing is, when you do have experiences, even if it's something simple, you know, like just telling somebody, hey, God loves you, or asking somebody, hey, can I pray for you? Share those stories. Let's share them with each other. Here at church, at the dinner table, with your family, with your friends, whatever. Because we all like to one-up each other, right? Let's start sharing stories with each other of our experiences, and be faithful in doing that. And hopefully that challenges and encourages more people to do the same thing. Youth, hey, I got one for you guys. I don't know if you do this or not, but like, so when I was your age, we would like be like, hey, I dare you to go up and talk to that girl. Or or do something stupid, you know. Maybe you guys can challenge each other to be like, hey, I dare you, I'll pay you $5 if you go tell that person Jesus loves them. Or challenge each other in that way. Let's challenge each other and see what happens. Do we have a song?
Turn to page number 43. The song is Lead Us in Your Light. I'd like to call you to verse 3 while we get ready here. I'll read it. Empower us with your fire to keep us faithful to your call. May we let your love flow to bring healing and hope in a world that's broken and lost. Number 43.
This is our time for prayers and shares. Do you guys have anything? Oh, I did want to mention, I said I sent out a survey. So I sent it to the emails that we had, I think, in the church directory. And so if you did not get one, or maybe if it was just one per person, I would like to do that some more in the future. So if you would like to get it, I can send them through text message as well. So you just have to let me know and make sure I have your number.
Good morning, this is Lester. We can continue to pray for my neighbors, Rob and Kathy. He has some health issues, and well, she has a little bit of issues too. And I shared a little testimony about that too. I was trying to help them out. I went up and helped them at times and went up and mowed their yard. And I never really preached to him by words, but he was just saying, oh, you're just a true Christian. You just seek God in you. Not saying for my own glory or anything, but as far as being a witness, it's... I used to think you have to preach the word to them, but we are the word, I mean, per se. I mean, just do what you feel is right, and they will recognize. And just continue praying for them.
This is Loretta, and thank you for your prayers for Emily. She is doing well and recovering from her surgery. So, and I'm going to do a little bragging. William Horning graduated on Friday, and he was named one of the 20 best and brightest in the Central Pennsylvania region. So I'm going to brag on him.
Just two quick things to tag on to the morning. Thanks for your message, Travis. And just a reminder that whether we say anything or not, or feel like we blow it in our conversations, our life does speak as a witness. So we're all witnesses in that regard. The other thing that I want to mention, one of the easiest ways, and the scripture talks about this, when they ask. When people ask you questions, focus on how you respond. Those are Kairos moments. When they ask you.
This is Michelle Gockley. The camp season is beginning. I know there's several from our congregation that serve. They start staff training where Miranda's at today, and I know a lot of camps are in the same shoes, but they're short-staffed again this summer. So just pray that people step up to fill the positions that still need filled for the camp.
This is Matt. I had a longtime friend that passed away from cancer. Last week, he was 37 years old, so pray for his family and his fiance as they go through this. His name was Sal C.
Hi, this is Terry Frederick. Thanks so much for your continued prayers through the health issues that I have. The stent has made a difference, a real difference. I didn't realize how much I had stopped until now. I'm starting back up again and very stiff and sore from doing things, but I can actually do more things. I did have a thyroid biopsy this past week. I have to wait a week for the results, and they still are doing a neurological workup sometime in July. So I have test results coming back, but God has been faithful.
All right, let's pray. God, we want to thank you because you are faithful. We don't always see or the results or understand your workings, Lord God, but we just help us to be faithful and trusting in your faithfulness, God. And we just want to pray for Rob and Kathy and their health issues that they are going through, Lord God, and just pray that you would speak to them through this time. We pray for peace and comfort. You promised the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. We just ask you to be faithful in that. I want to thank you for Emily and her recovery from back surgery, and thank you that that went well. And God, we also just want to remember all the graduates this year. Pray that you would guide them as they transition into different roles in their life, and pray that you would help them to find themselves and in you, and guide them in the direction that you have called them to go. We also want to lift up all the camps and the needs that are there. Pray that you would meet those needs with counselors or just whatever needs need to be filled, and to help that to be a blessing in the lives of all the kids and all, even the counselors and the adults that are involved in that. We also want to lift up Sal to you, Matt's friend, or his family, and that you would just be with them through this difficult time. We just ask again for your comfort and your peace with them. And we also want to pray for Terry as well, that you continue to help her through her health issues as well, and just continue to guide and direct the doctors and give them wisdom and discernment. And we ask again for peace and comfort and joy. And now, God, we just want to thank you for all the blessings that you have given to us, for courage and strength and boldness to be a witness for you, Lord God, in whatever way you call us to, whether it be just doing something simple for someone or flat out sharing the gospel with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.